Hey everyone, and welcome to Take 10 for Torah number 425. Any questions, feedback, suggestions, sponsorship requests, please let me know. Rabbi Yismach at take10fortorah.org. So today is January 2nd, 2019, which is pretty remarkable. Just that it's January 2nd and it's a new year. But of course, what we are all busy with is today is day two of our New Year's resolution. Yeah, of course, we do our Ben Adam Lamako, Ben Adam Lachavero resolutions on the first day of Tishrei, right? That's Rosh Hashanah. That's when we're supposed to be making these determinations and making these decisions. But some of us, I don't know, maybe wait till January 1st to do more of the sundry resolutions that might come up. So I wanted to talk about how probably day two, January 2nd, 2019, we've already failed. And I don't mean to be too pessimistic, but if you're like most people, most are not capable of keeping their resolutions for too long, and after a little bit of time, usually forget what they even were. This is a topic I love talking about. It's a topic which I think is so important in everything that we do, being that we're always busy getting inspiration, even if for 10 minutes a day, and hopefully moving forward with that idea. We get a new idea, we want to live with it, we want to incorporate it into our being, and then we remember, oh my gosh, I forgot all about it, I didn't do it. So what is this all about? The reason I bring this up now was also because the idea appears in this parasha, refers to Moshe and Aaron being bishluchusam uvitzidkasam etchila va'ad sof. Rashi says that from an inference in the verse, we see that they were righteous and devoted, committed to their task from beginning to end. How do we do that? How do we get righteous? And how do we not only want to be righteous, but actually pull it off in the long term? So of course, there are some very simple lessons that I think really cut at the core of this. If I'm not mistaken, we talked about this like a few hundred shiurim ago here in the Take 10, but it's a topic that I love to revisit. So to begin, let's talk about the nature of free will. So we know there's a very well-known question that also appears in these parashos, and the question is, how could it be that Paro is a free-willed agent, he has the decision to let the Jews go, and yet the Pasuk describes that Paro's free will, his agency, is taken away from him. How could that be? It doesn't seem fair. How could he be punished for that result? And so the Sfarno, there are a lot of answers to the question, we've talked about those in the past, but the Sfarno's answer to me is the most relevant, and also it really speaks to me. So the Sfarno says as follows, Va'ani akasha, he says, it doesn't matter, ve'ain safek, shalulei hechbados halev, hayeparo mishaleich esesro b'li safek. He says, there is just no doubt that would have not have been for the hardening of his heart, of course he would have let the Jews out. Why? Lo al tzad tshuva v'hachna le'el yisparach. Not because he felt contrite, he felt like he had done the wrong thing towards God, towards the people, but rather because his overwhelming submission due to the miracles that he was experiencing, due to the overwhelming influence of God's presence, how could you not let the Jews out? And so says the Sfarno, the idea of God hardening Paro's heart is actually to restore an equilibrium that he had lost through the miracles. And this is really important. We find it again and again and again, where it seems that God doesn't require much of us. There's a Medrash which talks about kol dodi hinei zeba. The Pasuk says, the soul sound of my beloved, behold, he is coming, medaleg al haharim. He is skipping over the mountains. The Medrash describes at length, Medrash Shir HaShirim Beis, it says, this skipping over the mountains refers to that when God told the Jews that they were being redeemed, they asked Moshe, what do you mean? How could we be redeemed? This can't be true. We're supposed to be here for 400 years, as was told to Abraham. We've only been here for 210. Moshe said, don't worry about it. Since he wants them to be redeemed, God doesn't care about the details. And he says, I'm going to skip over the mountains. How could we be redeemed? They asked. We have no good deeds to speak of. They again, we're worshiping Avodah Zarah. Moshe says, God will skip over the mountains. It's okay. How could we be redeemed? We are involved literally in idol worship, the Medrash says. So he says, don't worry. Midaleg al heharim. God will skip over all of those mountains, and you will have nothing to worry about. God will let you out. We have this idea at the sea, right, where halalu avodei avodah zarah, v'halalu avodei avodah zarah, the angels look down at the Jewish people who God is about to save and say, how can it be that you're going to save them and destroy them? They're not much better. The Jews are not much better. So it seems simply that we are supposed to be gifted with things. We're just supposed to get, and we're not supposed to earn, and we're not supposed to deserve. But that's not actually accurate. This is part of the Sfarno's process. The process goes as follows. You know, when we get a great idea, we get a flash of inspiration, it's January 1st, we watch the infomercial, we're up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and we say, oh, you know, if only I could have that machine, then my abs would look entirely differently. We decide we are going to be changed. We are going to take a new opportunity, a brand new Sunday, a brand new Monday, a brand new month, a brand new year, whatever it is, we decide we are going to change. It might not be a time, it might be a message. We might go into a lecture and hear somebody say something which is deeply, deeply moving and totally inspirational. We want to change forever because of what they said. Is that the way things ought to be? Is it the case that we are supposed to now become beings that choose and that do, not based on the difficulty of choice, but because God's miracles appear, or because an infomercial, or because of a motivational speaker, or because of a date on a calendar? Is that supposed to be what it is that changes us? So I think the way we think about this is that no. The Sforno's point is there will always be equilibrium that will return. We will always have the other side come back. It'll be difficult to wake up on the third morning and we're going to oversleep, and then the fourth morning maybe as well. The fifth morning maybe we'll do it again, but by the sixth and seventh we'll have lost steam and the equilibrium will have resolved, and therefore we will not be motivated anymore. And the problem is that we generally think that this is a moment of weakness. We think that, you know, we've tried to bite off too much. It's not necessarily the case. It's just we weren't necessarily aware of this process and of this sequence. We have this beautiful book, I've quoted it many times, a book by Rabbi Akiva Tass called Living Inspired, which discusses this phenomenon start to finish. It's really a wonderful book. The Rambam has a beautiful, beautiful metaphor that really illustrates, literally illustrates, this idea. He refers to somebody who's like trying to get through the forest and they can't see really well. And then suddenly there's a flash of bright lightning and everything is illuminated before them. And then just as quickly, the lightning, of course, disappears. And so all a person has is that flash stuck in their mind's eye. Hopefully it's seared into their mind's eye so that they're able to remember the path with which they were to take. But with the realization that the light is gone, they will not be able to reformulate that. And the challenge becomes not how to become motivated. Getting motivated is easy. But how to still continue with this process, whatever the process is, after the motivation has left us. This is one of the fundamental questions of tshuva. It's one of the fundamental questions of how do we change and how do we improve. Zig Ziglar, the motivational speaker, has this great line. He says, people often say that motivation doesn't last. Well, neither does bathing. That's why we recommend it daily. The psychologist Tal Ben-Shachar talks about how most personal and organizational change efforts fail. While initial excitement may be high following a workshop or another form of intervention, more often than not, people go back to where they were prior to the intervention. To enjoy change that lasts, that goes beyond the honeymoon period, we need to follow up our insights with actual behaviors and concrete rituals. Instead of focusing on cultivating self-discipline, introduce rituals similar to brushing your teeth. Incremental change is better than ambitious failure. Success feeds off of itself. That's Ben Shachar's approach to this, and there's a lot of Jewish wisdom in there as well. Other things that I'd love to talk about at a different day. We think about this in terms of relationships, how things start so sunny and so beautifully and amazing. But over the course of time, things without the proper nurturing and cultivation just tend to fade because we haven't done anything to keep that inspiration alive. And so the Sforno's equilibrium of free will always comes back to even. This, of course, explains why we have all of these incredible moments where the Jews experience revelation and they see things that you can't even imagine anybody seeing, and yet they go and commit the sin of the golden calf like 10 minutes later. How can that be? And the answer is, as obvious as things are to a person, immediately thereafter, there will be a term, there will be a period where things are not so obvious. That inspiration is taken away. And so we have to figure out how to work outside of that inspiration. I want to close with an idea, a beautiful idea that Rav Hirsch, understanding this deeply, he talks about how at the end of the day of Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol would get himself together and he would put his clothing back on, and there was one more Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. He would have to wash his hands and his feet one last time before he got dressed to leave. And they say, like, what's the point? What's the point of getting dressed and then doing Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim doing the sanctification of your hands and your feet once again before you go home. Says Rav Hirsch, that's exactly the point. The point is, you had this wonderful Yom Kippur, you had this great January 1st, you decided things are going to be different. But if you haven't figured out how to practically, how to, as Ben Shachar says, ritually, to create a habit to make the thing that you want to happen, happen, the inspiration on its own will never last. And so today is the second. Today, hopefully your resolutions are still there. But know that without using these practices and using these tips, it might not last. Good luck doing it right. Have a great day and a great year.